Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky try another wine from the Opatagua line in their Reserva Cabernet Sauvignon. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks, and I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you could join us this evening.
I am, too, and I'm also glad that the Triple B is here.
Thank you. Good evening.
Although she would not miss tonight's show. Matter of fact, she's been militant about having this wine on the air, and she threatened my life if we drank it without her. And tonight there's
she was talking about the wine in the burlap sack.
Well, there's that. You know, we have many new things in the queue. Many, many new things. But the main thing that she's upset about is the fact that there's a grain reserve out of this. And I wanted to do them both at the same time. And she says no. Because she knew that there'd be extra wine for us to drink and she wouldn't have it. So.
Well.
I know. She doesn't want us to. Drink it. Well, she said she'd kill us if we drank it without her. Not that we'd ever done that before.
Never.
Except
often.
Several times.
Not often.
Yeah.
Well.
True. Once.
Relatively often.
It's true.
It's been a long time.
You did drink your Kim Crawford Chardonnay that one time without her.
So. You opened it up and it was a gift to me.
It was. It was pretty good.
A gift from the unlicensed.
That's true.
For.
And you drank it too.
Childbirth.
Well. But she was pregnant.
I didn't want
to. I wasn't pregnant.
Yes, you were.
Okay, maybe, but still.
You know.
That was the gift. It was the gift for
you. Bought a pregnant woman alcohol.
No, I think he gave it to us, and then, like, right after that, I found out I was pregnant.
Okay, so maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it was a gift for you, though.
It was a gift for me.
Was it birthday?
I don't know. Perhaps? I'm trying to remember. Was it a Christmas gift? I don't know what it was.
I didn't give Rob anything. It was a gift for you, and he got nothing.
It was just because you saw it, and you thought she should have it.
Pretty much.
And we had it. But
and then you drank it. But I don't know if I've ever had it.
You know, it's okay. It's delicious. But on tonight's show, Bo is being...
I thought he was chewing on the rug. He's chewing on a bone. But I thought he was chewing on the edge of the rug.
Well, he can chew on the rug if he wants to.
He's traumatized. He was labeled...
A house dog.
He was shamed.
He was called a house dog by my father.
Who loves Bo?
Yeah, he does. He said he needs to put a pink bow on, which I don't know.
Oh.
But I know. But tonight's show, folks, there is no pink bow in this wine. However.
Maybe a red ribbon.
Or a blue ribbon.
Blue ribbon.
Red ribbon, second place. But it is Opatagua once again, but not their Pinot. When we had their Pinot, the Triple B really liked it. The second time, because she wasn't on the first time when we had it. But. You know, that's another issue. You were pregnant, probably. You're pregnant a lot.
That's just going to be an excuse for everything.
You were pregnant. But this is their Reserva Cabernet. So same line as the Pinot Noir, but different varietal,
Wait,
naturally.
Is there something we should know?
No, I wish I was pregnant.
Rob?
No. No.
This is making up for drinking it when Pinot when I was pregnant.
Yeah, you don't wish you were pregnant. But still.
No garden, no blonde-haired daughter. You're lucky it's Father's Day.
What's in your cart right now?
Opatagua.
That's all that you had.
Doesn't matter. It's
all the sensitive spots.
I know. Scott has so many sensitive spots, but it's being cruel. You know, I don't want to do that.
I've got zero sensitive spots. The in the car doesn't work.
Works for me. Makes me feel good.
Sure, it's easy to do.
It's true. But the Opatagua, folks, this is from the same place as the Pinot. What? Chautauqua Valley. Yes. And we really, really enjoy the Pinot, as was recommended by listener Douglas. And we've always asked, one thing I always wondered was, like, why is this reserve? What's the base? Because you never see that anywhere. And they do have a base level winery, a wine line. and it's their Gran Verano. That's their intro level, I suppose. I don't know how much that costs, but $7-$8. How much could it cost if this is 11? This is $11.99. That's cheap.
Yeah,
that's cheap.
Something that we were talking about last night mm-hmm. with Apatagua, just in general, and exploring South American wines, is that we found some really great values.
True.
In South America. And something that we're starting to notice is there's some really high notes. Like, we have found some really, really excellent wines. Aristipirque.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Super good. Super cheap. Apatagua. Outstanding.
Well, Catina. Moscata.
And so we were talking a little bit last night. We've had some really good notes, but we've also had some, like, really bad South American wine.
Your big Dogs. Line. Well, also, Santa Emma. You like that a lot.
Don't forget Santa.
I totally forgot about that.
Carolina.
Santa Carolina. Well, Santa Carolina is basic, but it's okay.
Santa Emma. We really enjoyed it. We forget about that.
What's that Antu? Oh, yeah, Antu. Montebuena Antu, that was really good.
It's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm, that has been a really long time ago.
That's one, honestly, that merits revisiting or go to something else from their line.
If we can find, I haven't looked for it, but I haven't seen it either. Let's just say that. But yeah, it's one of those things, like Becky said, I personally see it as
I wasn't finished.
Yeah, sure.
What I was saying is, it's not often in wine, because wine is such an old world thing, that you find a new region or a new area of growth that you can really find new flavors, new things on your palate, new nose, new wineries. So it's really exciting when, for us, we've really discovered South America and can really, like, dive in and kind of see what's going on there. The only thing that I think is important noting is you kind of have to be prepared for the variation, even year over year, but also between wineries. There's some places, like if we were, what I was thinking is, if you buy like a Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, you know what you're getting.
That's probably the greatest consistency.
Yeah.
Of
it's like relatively, what? You're like, okay, we should be finding grapefruit. We should be finding these things. If you're looking in Columbia Valley, you're going to have a really good idea of what a big red flavored wine you're going to get.
Jazz hands.
Right, for sure. And so that's something just to be mindful of in South America, is it's going to be a lot of peaks, but for sure valleys. But it's something really fun that we have all really liked looking through.
Talking about new, I believe when we did the first Apatagua the first time, Colchagua Valley was the newest recognized AVA or mm-hmm. AVA equivalent in the world at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, top tip. Do not buy Los Vascos. Ugh. Do not buy Santa Rita. Do not buy Alamos. Do not buy Trumpeter. Let's see who else. After that, you might be all right. But Montez is a little bit boring, but it's okay. We should go back to that. The Cabernet is like, eh. The Alpha series or their higher level stuff, it's never really blown my skirt up much, but it's okay. I think it's a little overpriced. I just say go with Catina, but...
Yeah.
But this wine, the Apatagua Reserva Cabernet, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to do what Becky has demanded to do for, about 2 weeks now since we found it? Let's drink the wine here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So by the way, 2019. Oh, 19. Apatagua, well, Reserva Cabernet from
remember,
Chile.
They are harvesting in an off season. So
it's
March.
Yeah.
They harvested in March of 2019. Mm-hmm. So it's like not as green as a fall harvest for us, but
this is fresh to market. Let's just say that. Although 50% of the wine is aged in oak barrels for 6 to 8 months. before it hits the market. So there you go. Now, their base level, the Gran Verano, it's all stainless steel. So you have to go to the Reserva to actually get oak. And then when you get to the Gran Reserva, you're talking to 12 to 18 months. But the Gran Reserva is only $3 more.
Well, and then remember, then they've got that Enverro series as well. But I don't think that's from Chagua Valley, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's all the – that's the same thing. That's their Reserva or their Gran Reserva.
Gran Reserva. But I've
No, it's not. It's from – it's
Male? M-A-U-L-E, however
it could be. I don't – it was a valley. How's that sound? You know.
Sound like a Green Giant commercial.
That's right.
Does France label their wines Reserva, Gran Reserva, no. just Spain?
They do the Cru level. So Grand Cru, Cru, that kind of stuff.
Okay. I know that, I mean, I understand that they speak Spanish in Chile, but I just know it's so heavily French influenced. I was wondering about the labeling of the of that there.
Well, think of it as a mixed mash between Spanish and French. I mean, that's one thing I would say about South America. It's got many different influences, which makes it interesting. Mm-hmm. Luckily, none of those influences are Australian.
Fortunate for us all.
Thank God, baby Jesus.
The Enverro series is from Curico Valley.
There we go.
Chile.
That's my second favorite valley.
Green Giant.
There you go. So, there are no reviews of this wine. Apparently, James Suckling was not aware that they had a Cabernet.
I was not aware. I would love to drink this wine.
Jimmy.
What?
Jimmy, we were busy.
Is that your Tim Atkins impersonation?
Yeah, it's Tim.
That's not Tim. No.
I'm drinking.
No. But we have to, I mean, yes, there isn't much to say. It's Cabernet and it's...
Do you have any reviews?
No, none.
Maybe we're the first ones to taste it.
Well, no. I'm doubting that, but...
I'm guessing Douglas has tried it.
Was smiling sure. when I said that.
Although he didn't say, try the Cabernet. He said, try the Pinot. So, you know, maybe he's like, don't try the Cabernet.
We'll find out.
In the glass, though, it looks like Cabernet is dark. Dark, slightly translucent as you tilt the glass a little bit, but it's a dark crimson, beautiful, actually, very pretty.
Yep.
Not necessarily inky because of the translucence towards the edge, but...
There's a little oily glisten about it, maybe?
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little tartaric acid crystals. Yeah. Could be a sign of some acidity.
True.
I feel like it has a little bit of grapefruit on the nose. Something citrusy on the nose.
Well, a little bit of the South American greenishness to it. Just slightly green.
Towards that grapefruity thing, it's could be taken as slightly vegetal, but it's really slight.
Slight. Yeah, a peak of vanilla.
Something I'm not really smelling is I'm not getting a lot of fruit.
No.
It's mostly the accoutrement that you're smelling as opposed to the fruit.
Yeah.
Let's see
which is a little bit unusual.
If you want, there's a little bit of berry in the background.
Well, you're assuming there's a berry. No, actually, there is a berry.
Like a sweet berry.
Yeah. I could maybe get a strawberry out of there or something.
Yeah, almost maybe a strawberry, maybe.
Boysenberry.
Poison berry.
So stupid.
I have no idea what poisonberry tastes like. I do.
I was going to say, I feel like you're the reason.
It's gooseberry.
Elderberry.
No, that's just being stupid.
Have you ever had elderberry wine?
Yes.
Pretty popular.
Is it?
Yeah. We usually take elderberry supplements.
It's true. Let's do this.
For tasting?
There's also a bit of menthol.
It's
very closed.
It's not the most spectacular nose from a cab, but what do you expect for a lemon box? We're watching intently.
That ain't half damn bad for $11.99.
My first impression is I love the tannins in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little more towards the lean side.
Yeah.
It's a little hot.
There is that.
But
do you think
it's
that's
hot. It's actually very hot. But
do you think that's like
meaning
the acidity showing?
No. The burn in the back of your throat. No, it's alcohol.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? What's the EBV on this?
It's not necessarily, it's not dependent on alcohol. It's 13.5. It's just the way it's masked within the wine. It's a flaw, but that's not something that I've ever got hung up on, unless I don't like the wine overall. And that sometimes can blow off and kind of mature out of a wine. It's 19. You got to remember, this is the raw.
I know. I thought that too.
I was getting that with acidity at the end too. A little acidity on the finish.
It's an alcohol burn, but that's okay.
There's acidity to it. My first sip, I was thinking, this is brand new. This is brand new wine. This is brand new. But for it being, I mean, it was picked, 15 months ago? Tops.
It has got a great, it's all savory red fruit on that front palate. Currant that is interwoven with a slight cherry, but definitely not a Bing cherry.
I wouldn't go as far as saying it's got a silky mouthfeel or a velvety mouthfeel, but it is a very smooth mouth.
There's something. Not quite oily, not quite glycerin, but that's the line. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be afraid to call it slightly velvety.
I would say smooth for sure.
Smooth.
I would definitely say that.
I'm going to also amend the heat because there is a little bit of heat, but it has a cayenne pepper.
There is a little pepper
streak, and I mean that's,
I just got it.
Yeah,
I didn't get the heat. I thought it was acidity from the get go, but the pepper.
But tasty. Some people might like that warmth. I think it's a little bit more than just warmth on this one, but that's okay because it also has a little bit of a spicy note to it, which you know.
I think the mouthfeel, going back to that, the tannins really make the mouth feel nice. I think that that's a lot of the smoothness, especially at the end. It's because of the tannins.
For a leaner style cab, this is a big tannic wine.
It is.
Oh yeah,
it is.
It's almost mismatched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I'm trying to think of other tannic cabs that we've had to compare it to, but the tannins are something that you usually get in a more elevated, more expensive cab,
and bigger, just bigger body.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. No. It's hell of a dry red. Mm-hmm. And also, if you're eating just a little bit of food, really helps the wine.
It's round nice it out. With this white cheese.
Oh, yeah, that white cheese just cools that down a little bit and really accents it. Just eat. It's a wine you drink with food, you know? And it's after really 6 to 12 months of holding it, I think that it will be even better and it'll be silkier.
Mm-hmm.
Good wine. It's impressive. It's almost, I mean, I'm thinking about what Montez tastes like, and this is a buck more. And this is so much more complex. See, Montez has a base. It's like if you were going to have, I assume Montez, I'd probably equate to their base level, which is probably $3 cheaper than Montez. But this is such a zesty, vibrant wine, where Montez has a lot of the fruit structure that's similar. It reminds you in spots of this wine. However, this wine is just so much more dazzling.
Mm-hmm.
And not in an annoying way. Not in a jazz hands bullshit way. Just in terroir being expressed and everything just coming through. Oh, the oak pops through. I mean, you notice everything.
It's leaner than most cabs, but it's got this... It's a tannin bomb almost.
But is it lean for Chilean?
No, I think, well, we don't have a lot of Chilean cabs, but we're learning more about them.
How much different?
What is it?
Now that's Argentinian.
We know.
How much different mindset is it from Catina's cab?
Right, right.
You know, it's not that much mindset wise.
No, but this is, in my opinion, this is more interesting than a Catina.
Well, it's also interesting that the fact it costs half as much.
You've got the nice savory fruit. You've got that. Little acidic streak, that little cayenne pepper, white pepper thing. And, you know, oftentimes a cab that was this lean, we might criticize it. It's actually a benefactor of the wine. It's a benefit to the wine.
Yes, it is. And because you want it to have that, I wouldn't call austere, but the slight rusticness that is there.
And yes. I don't think if this is a heavier wine, yeah. I don't think if it's bigger bodied, I don't think it's going to have as pleasant, as smooth, near velvety mouthfeel that it does.
I wouldn't even necessarily go that way.
It's I like it. I like it a lot.
I think it's great. I mean, I think it's a star at that price range. I mean, it just, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many wines that you say in this price range. It's like, oh, that's fine. It does everything it should. It's a good value, and I buy it. Mm-hmm. This is that, and it's also interesting.
I'm tempted to tell Jeff, the wine expert from wine.com, who's asking, as usual, mm-hmm. can I help you find a great wine? Like, no, Jeff, let me help you find mm-hmm. a great wine.
You should
try.
Do that. You should do that and see what happens.
I've already found it. But yesterday I was messaging Jeff, and he transferred me to Peter.
How dare he?
I know. Just hand you off.
Does Jeff do that to us?
No. Jeff always gives me the personal touch.
That's sexist.
It is. It's like, well, let me give you to Peter. He talks to women.
Jeff does not. I haven't identified myself at all. I wasn't logged in.
He knew.
She was probably on your account.
No.
No.
You should have said yes. You should have said yes.
I got a referral.
The joke would have been better.
I got a referral email. So if I referred someone to wine.com and they bought something, they got $25 off and I get $25 off. So it gave Becky a code to enter for the $25 off, and it was an invalid code. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what that's up with that. So wine.com, if you have a promo and you issue a code, make sure your code that you just issued actually works.
Sin.
Top tip.
When you get that email from wine.com, air quotes, and it's in Cyrillic?
I didn't say it com. I said wine.com.
Yeah, okay.
Oops.
There you go. Whoops.
Yeah, well, I just put my social in. What's the difference? It said that we need to verify your social security number.
I don't want to stop this number. Conversation. But I do taste something towards the finish that is not great.
How skillful was that, folks? You know, there's that whole classic thing where everything you say in a sentence that includes but, everything that precedes mm-hmm. a but is false. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't want to stop this conversation, but let's mm-hmm. get back to the wine.
Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know that it's vegetal. I don't know what it is. Are you getting it?
Something in the finish?
No, it's spoof. No.
There's something there. I don't know what it is. It. Go ahead.
Well, overall, the wine has a slight prickly acidity that goes all the way through. And towards the end, what you're getting is a slight stemminess from all that, because it's showing there is that chemical compound that leads to green pepper, and it's just there. Just
what's
the
so interesting
bit.
On my palate, I was like, to me, it's almost like a lemon rind.
Well, yeah,
so,
well, I see what you mean. Yeah,
that's interesting to me.
Which no, I think that fits along with acidity.
It's acidic, mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it as a stemminess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, lemon rind's fine. I think with bottle age, with 6 to 12 months more bottle age, all that mm-hmm. is going to round out. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I think the acidity will smooth out.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I want us to talk about is the oaking on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
At this price point,
yeah.
Think of all the shitty oaking we have tasted at $11. I mean, even more than $11.99.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You can go a lot higher and not get the subtle, soft oaking that they've done here.
Yeah.
And, you know, folks, we're going to be doing more Opadago on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, at least two more.
I think that somebody is setting them up to be winery of the year. I'm not sure.
I feel like that's
Becky.
Coming.
But it's coming.
Becky.
Okay. I think we all are. What other winery are we obsessed with like this and at this price point?
Well, the Malbec might bring it back down.
I feel like Opatagua, like you all did about Hecula when you all found it. And you were like, I just had to go and buy five more bottles.
Okay,
I had to go buy five more bottles.
Slow down. You're going into hollow ground right now.
I have not heard you that excited. And Rob just cut you off.
Okay. And but that's you're talking. No.
Because I'm speaking the truth.
No. Hecula. Or that. No. Hecula, when we that was rattlesnake venom, that'd take your head off.
Uh-huh.
And
Opatagua does not do that.
What other wines from Hecula are good?
None.
Huh.
We haven't had any others. But
Hecula
and that
is just
was
Hecula.
And it was, you know, there wasn't, at least we couldn't get our hands on any of the 14. We could get our hands on the 15, and it's good, but it just wasn't that 13, which you could sit back
and see what happens, basically.
Well, how long would you age this for? A year?
I would hold it for a year.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go much further.
I was going to say, to me, it's so... delicate's not the right word, but it's just so... The flavors aren't super strong. I don't know that it would hold up to a 5-year
aging. I'm just saying, you this is a 19. You let it meld for 6 months to a year before you drink it.
I mean,
say you buy a case.
Let's say I bought a case. Yeah. And you set it back. Would I hold a couple bottles back to see what happened after 2 years? Why not? It's an $11 bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. See, just to see.
Yep.
You know, I think this, the age on this is there's a limitation.
Yeah.
This is not what you would call a cellar selection.
But, I mean, you could also say, I mean, we've been drinking older bottles of Bogle Old Vine Zin that's been sitting at Meijer for 3 years. And this stuff's still fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just did a 16. I bought some 15. Why? Fuck it. It's good. It still's good. And it's damn Bogle, for Christ's sake.
Bogle does a good job. They just do.
The 15 and 16 are good. We've had some.
The 17, 18 are fine.
But the 16 last night was very good.
Yeah, they get a little bubblegummy in their off years. That's the classic. This isn't a good Bogle. This isn't the Bogle you're looking for. Is bubblegummy, but or rubber bandy, however you want to call it. But last night, the 16, nice pure fruit, somewhat simple, but it's okay. I paid $7 for it.
Talking about the Zin.
The Zin,
by the way, folks.
Yeah, nothing else, just the Zin. The Petite Sirah, I drank it on election night, 2016. It was the last time I had it.
I'm never drinking it again.
Neither am I.
But you bought some.
No, just the Zin, Scott. That's one reason why I'd never buy it.
I don't mind Bogle's Petite Sirah, regardless.
No, I don't mind it, but it just has a negative thing. That was just not a good night. Yeah, Becky's like, let's get some wine and cheese and watch it. Didn't we look stupid?
Yeah. We didn't look stupid.
That's
true. I think the U.S. as a country looked stupid.
Mind you, folks, I think tonight we have a larger attendance for the wine vault than he did in Tulsa. Mm. It's a shame. We're going to have 100,000 people.
He said a million.
I think it's actually, they misspoke. In reality, it was 6,200 or 6,900. It doesn't really matter.
I think it was 6,200.
It's almost. It's like, you know, it's math. What a shame.
Like that crowd. That crowd the pavilion.
They had the outdoor.
On the inauguration day.
How much money did they spend on that stupid setup? They had an outdoor stage and there's nobody there. There's only so many racists in America. What can you do, man? They had crosses to burn on people's yards. I mean, it's very a busy time for a racist.
It is.
I mean, it is.
I think they had to prioritize.
That's
true. Are we going to go burn crosses, or are we going to go to the Trump rally?
Do we have to shop at Walmart
with
no shoes on, or do we go to the Trump rally? What do we do? No. It's hard to say. There's just not enough time in the day is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I agree.
Are you saying that Trump supporters are the people in Walmart barefoot bleeding on the linoleum floor?
I believe the term is undesirables.
Stop.
I don't know. Anyway, nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back right here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have everybody's favorite thing, listener emails.
Oh, we're not going to read Twitters?
So
we're not going to read the Twitter?
No, we're not. But what
Becky wants to read a Twitter.
No,
Becky found there was a COVID outbreak at a strip club in Florida called
Wisconsin,
called Cruising for Chubbies. Is that what it's called?
Not cruising for, just cruising.
Oh, Cruising Chubbies. That's a strip club in Wisconsin.
And if you were there over a 4-day period, you need to go get tested.
So you had to be there 4 days, all 4 days?
I don't believe so.
Oh, that'd be
but
awesome.
Then, just on Twitter, they were like, there's some really awkward conversations happening now in people's homes.
I can't imagine that the, well, you have a place called Cruising Chubbies, that necessarily the staff would be top notch.
What do you mean by top notch?
I think that that is a major generalization, and I don't know why you would think that a stripper would have bad personal hygiene.
I think a lot of badly placed tattoos probably are in there.
Yeah, that's what you were thinking about.
Were you thinking of the clientele or the employees?
Yes.
You were thinking about the strippers, and you were thinking that they might be less than svelte.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. I just thought tattoos. But if you want to judge people's bodies.
Next, let's read the email.
I don't like
where you're headed.
No, I don't either, Scott.
Well.
Dick. So, the first one, and once again, I pare these down to the actual question, because often there's like three paragraphs telling Scott how horrible he is, but still.
No, they love me.
No. But anyway, Jess from Cleveland. And
Jess, land, living in the land, 216, baby.
Is Jess a man or woman? Jesse? Or?
Yes.
Okay, we'll just say. Whoever.
Maybe Jess is a man or a woman.
Could be.
We don't know.
Well, they wrote.
Say, this person.
What is the worst wine you've had, but you didn't have it on the show?
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you. My first thought.
Oh, recently, they said.
Recently, that. We had a little outdoor affair. Mostly socially distanced, food, some wine, and somebody might have bought, Apatago inspired, another bottle of Colchagua Valley wine. Oh. And it was putrid.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad.
Primus, wasn't it? Primus. That was the one that Suckling and Atkins got together and gave it $2.94.
They did.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I would agree. That's actually my worst one recently because I tried it. It was horrible.
Who brought it?
Well, Jimmy.
Scott.
It was a wine.com purchase. It was double 94s.
Well, I was going to. And
from the Kissin' Reviewers.
Right.
Yeah. The what? The Kissin' Reviewers.
And I feel like there's no red flags. Like everything that you said, I'm like, oh, that has all the makings of a great wine.
And I wanted to try something else from Colchagua Valley. Mm-hmm. It was a red blend, I think.
It was. And it tasted like it had Hershey's chocolate syrup in it.
Oh.
It was syrupy, but it didn't taste chocolatey.
No.
Like cough syrupy?
This is old.
It was texturally, it was syrupy. And it was soapy.
Yes, if you left chocolate syrup out on a counter for 17 months.
Stop.
And then drank it.
It was like if you took Mrs. Murphy's oil soap.
Yes.
And aged it on bad American oak, because the oaking was awful too.
Everything about the wine was awful. Even the glass was subpar.
How much was it?
I don't recall.
17. I just threw that number out. I don't know.
We could look it up, but I will not spend any more time on Primus other than answering Jess, maybe Jesse, Jessica, maybe Jesse. Their question from the land.
Becky, do you have one specifically other than Primus, which you did not have?
Which I did not have. I think for the most part, when we're drinking off air, it's something that we've had on the air that we've enjoyed or kind of like a relative of it. I will say, we've touched on this briefly earlier, Rob is on a really big Bogle kick, and I think we've had a couple, maybe like 17 or 18s.
Yes, we have.
That are not great.
No.
And I don't, I will sometimes drink like a half a glass. The other thing that I don't like, not because it's a bad wine, because it is not stylistically what I enjoy, is Tessier. Rob loves to get that out, and I just don't enjoy it at all. So those would be my two. But not because they're bad wines, just they're not my preference. Cup of tea.
Okay. Well, it seems like the Bogle, there's some inconsistencies there.
Mm. Yeah. I hope it's not like, we're liking the older vintages of Bogle. I hope it's not like, oh, this is our new formula or, you know. Mm. We'll see.
So since I stole your thunder, what's your second worst wine of recent?
Oof. Boy. That's a good question. I have no... Oh, Memorio Rosso. That damn stuff that the decanter gave a 95 to. I bought it at $7.99, so it wasn't so bad. Now it's up to $13.99. We'll have it on the show eventually. Because I have one more bottle, and I just don't think we'll drink it.
Because it's so bad.
It should have been in a wicker basket. It didn't taste bad. It's just, you know.
It's a whisker basket.
Whisker basket? I've never seen a whisker basket.
Well, you will now.
Does that mean you killed someone and made it out of body parts or something? Why would you have a whisker basket? Is it a cat basket? Did you?
Yes.
Kill? Jesus Christ. Anyway.
It's the cat basket.
That would be the one I would say. It was just very, very.
Here, whisker.
Yeah. I know, we normally save our terrible wine for the show.
Yes, it was blah. It wasn't bad, it was blah.
Right.
So.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Now, next is Ashley from Salem.
Oregon?
Virginia? Ohio?
I don't know. That's okay. New Salem. I think, yeah.
Winston-Salem.
Out west, I assume. Yes. I have been wanting to branch out and try new countries. I like Cali, Washington, French cabs. What else would be a good way to try something new?
Well, we've talked Chilean. Yeah. We're talking South America. But, you know, when I hear Cali, Washington, Spanish wines are so approachable.
Oh, true.
They really are. And cost effective.
If you like a Cali, Washington cab, are you going to like a Chilean cab? Maybe not.
But, and Tempranillo.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Spanish wine has a Monastrell. Lot more. I was thinking Spanish as well because it has so much more body to it. They're bolder wines. I don't. If you like an American cab, I don't know that you would immediately like a Chilean cab.
But you know, if you go. She goes both ways with the Washington wines and the California wines, and she probably likes a bigger wine.
No, Ashley's a man.
Oh.
No, I'm just joking. I don't know that.
Well, the thing about Spanish wines, they're typically approachable, affordable, and you can get them pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, they're fun. They're really fun drinkers.
And that's a good place to branch out to. We've talked about it before, but, you know, try Chile. Try Cotrago Valley. Try El Potago.
Yeah. All right. There you go, Ashley.
But where do we say you shouldn't go if you haven't been with cabs?
Australia.
Yeah. You're such an Australia snob.
Yeah.
I buy them occasionally.
What's the Spanish wine that I always forget the name of it that's blue and it has the like...
Oh, Can Blau.
Yeah. That's what I would recommend.
Haven't had that
We haven't had it in a long time.
But that's... I always forget the name of it, but as soon as I start to describe it,
oh yeah, it's and so blah good. Blah.
I mean, can blah blah,
and so affordable and such a good wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is.
We had that.
Your birthday.
On my birthday.
Yeah, at
the Crest.
Yeah,
the Crest
downtown. Mm-hmm.
That was an enjoyable night.
Mm-hmm. It was.
They do a good job with the wine there.
You would not think that would be a good wine spot. Like, you'd think, is it a beer spot? But it's good.
But they have a reputation for doing affordable wines.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, there you go, Ashley. But next, Jackson from Chicago. Carl Weathers.
It's
Carl Weathers, yes.
Carl Weathers. What's the weathers like up there? How are you now, Action Jackson?
Jesus Christ. No one even knows that reference. Nobody watched fucking Action Jackson. But, you know.
You brought it up.
I know, but then you made a weather joke. My God. You and Fozzie Bear. You should go into like a Last Comic Standing.
It was a Letterkenny
joke. I'm putting my money on Fozzie. So, Jackson wrote, I've tried McManus and Apatagua. Oh, yeah. What other brands would you recommend as a line? Hmm. You can't say probably Turley because it don't count, but I think he means that level.
Well, I was going to say Apatow was much more affordable.
Well, so is McManus. It's undervalued.
It's very undervalued.
It is. It's fair. We have the Zinfandel still in the queue.
So what I would say, Jackson, is that something that we are constantly also on the search for?
True.
We have some things coming down the line that we've ordered, that we've talked about. We are always looking for like a cult wine
mm-hmm.
that other people don't know about, that's maybe not been discovered yet. So just last night we were out on the deck. You mm-hmm. were messaging Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Garage Winery.
Garage Wine Company, yeah.
And it's from South America. Mm-hmm. We have not tried it, full disclaimer, but it has really good reviews. How much was the wine that you bought?
It was $39.
So it's more expensive than this, but I think that that's something that we're also on the hunt for.
97 from Parker.
I would like to hear what you have drank that would meet those qualities, but go ahead.
Well, I think for sure Decoy.
Decoy is always a good solid choice.
And they've got a broad spectrum of varietals. Mm-hmm. You know the name. You know you're going to have quality. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not dirt cheap.
It's $20. It's somewhat mm-hmm. simplistic, but, you know.
But
solid.
Normally.
Well,
very good.
KJ's Vintner's Reserve is basic, but it works.
Yeah.
Another one, Rodney Strong.
Yep.
Especially their county series.
Ravenswood is always.
Ravenswood.
Yeah, but you know, it's not on market anymore.
I know. I was going to say.
The Lodi's gone even now.
Yeah.
Ravenswood, and what we're talking about is a county specific Vines and Fidel series that in our market, it's just gone.
Now, you can get it on wine.com. Only has Lodi, though.
No, they have Sonoma.
Really?
They did have Mendocino.
They don't have Napa. I wonder how that works. How did that just disappear like that? I don't.
You know who we need to talk to about that is Holly. See if she's got access to it.
I mean, but the reason why I don't know that
I'll
she would know
her
that.
Now before we forget.
But, I mean, the question is why they pull out of the market because they didn't sell well here. And it might be because they're scaling back, too. They still have their single vineyard stuff, but.
But even that, you don't see as much right now on the shelves that I've seen. And I've been looking for the Ravenswood. All you can find is the Barishia.
Well, they still have a Tedeschi and whatnot, a Giant Eagle, but that's about it. And it's older vintages.
I was just there, and it was not there anymore.
Oh, yeah. And like the Barishia is still the 14.
I wonder if they're impacted by, let's be honest, the series of California wildfires over the last few years.
Could be. I mean, you also see Baran, now the 17th's coming out. And that's strange that it doesn't actually have much traction because it's a copper cane wine, like Elowan. Damn Joey Wagner's in every picture for fucking Baran. I hate ever liking that wine.
Except that you like that wine.
I won't drink it again.
That's false.
I won't. So.
We're at the top. They've got Baran on the menu. $45. You're buying it.
No, I'm not.
False.
I'm not.
False.
It's true.
You're such a baby.
In this bullshit hypothetical situation, it's false. I'm not doing it. So, last email is Janelle from Gainesville in Florida.
Okay.
This is a different one.
What, a different Gainesville or a different Janelle from Gainesville?
This is a different kind of question. This is a different kind of question. Are there any 1.5 liter grocery store wines you would recommend for anything? I see them all the time and I just say, why would someone buy that?
Well,
she already knows apparently that they're shitty. But
it's an interesting question.
Which it is. And they have like two damn aisleful of those fucking things. And I don't ever see anybody take any out of there. I assume that they get bought, but why is Livingston there? Seriously, why is Inglenook, or not Inglenook, what is
no,
it?
No, Inglenook has 1.5.
Yeah, they have, why are those things there? Why does Mondavi have Woodbridge in those? I mean, what would you do with Carlos Rossi in any particular stand? Any of those things?
Because
you have to be a drunk.
On that size format, I mean, I guess if you're going to make sangria, okay, maybe.
Buy real sangria. I hear they have a screw top.
You need chew food.
I know. It vexes people, though. It's a screw top. It's hard to figure out.
Vexes people.
Vexes. Confuses them.
Okay.
They find it very difficult. They don't understand how it works.
But why would I, honestly, why wouldn't you just buy box wine? It lasts longer.
Yeah. We read the question again.
Okay. Are there any 1.5 liter grocery store wines you would recommend for anything?
Well, I was just thinking, like, on a normal night, if we split a bottle of wine, like, we're not normally opening up another bottle of wine.
Well, no.
So I'm not trying to be judgmental here, but I'm just more like, if you are wanting to accomplish that goal, then maybe you should just buy vodka or something else.
So I think you were trying to not be judgmental, but I think you kind of were a little bit. A little bit. Just slightly.
That is a lot of liquid for $4, or $5, or $6, or $7, or $8.
Just more than that.
I suppose some of them are decent enough to cook with.
Can you buy a 1.5 of Lindemans?
Yes.
Probably.
But I don't know about the...
Some places.
Jacob's Creek, you can. I mean, if... That's the thing, though.
Never even heard of Jacob's Creek.
Oh, yeah. It's Australian. We've had on the show before. They're Reserve, of course. It's...
They're crappy entry ones.
Oh, they're pretty lousy. But the problem is, with a 1.5 liter, you don't need 1.5 liters of wine to cook with. I mean, that's a lot of wine to cook. What are you going to boil a pot of spaghetti with wine? What the hell are you doing? I mean, a 750.
Like, you know, we should try that.
Objective.
Yeah.
To make spaghetti and boiling wine?
A 1.5 liter of Pinot Grigio to boil pasta in.
Ugh.
We should just do that just because.
It's not keto.
Probably not. Yeah. And then make a white clam sauce.
Imagine how bad that would smell.
Yeah. My Lord.
When we make, we've made fondue a couple times lately, and we use, what did we use last time, Ferrari Carano?
Oh, yeah, they're Fumé Blanc.
But when you have that going in a pan with garlic, oh my gosh, there's no better smell from your stove. I know, Bo's asleep, I saw it.
He's passed out.
I was worried about where he was, but yeah, he's
asleep. I'm back in the roasting garlic business. That's hard to beat.
Mm.
Just.
My aunt does that. I thought about getting into it.
You just slice a whole garlic bulb up in half. I like to slice it thinly across the top,
mm-hmm.
so that the bulb that's connected to the head
mm-hmm.
is thicker. And then you can just pop them out and squeeze them, and you don't have as much skin to deal with. And then if any of the top that you thinly slice is good, then it's fine. And you just throw it away.
You just put olive oil on it?
A little salt and pepper. So what I'll do is aluminum foil in a sheet pan, and I'll fold up the corner so it's squared off,
mm-hmm.
and then just drizzle some olive oil on that. And then as I slice the garlic, I'll drizzle a little of olive oil on it, but dense pepper, a little bit of salt. And then I just set it face down in the aluminum foil, and I kind of swirl it around to evenly mm-hmm. distribute the salt and pepper. It's pretty freaking phenomenal. You can't overdo it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to overwaz it. So maybe 20 minutes. I mean, you'll find your way. And it also depends how big the garlic bulbs are. Yeah. But, oh, my Lord. It's just, and you can do whatever with it.
Yeah.
Right now I've got a batch of it.
How do you store it? In a mason jar?
You could.
Okay.
But I've got right now a vinegar bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And I just filled it with a little bit of vinegar, but water. And then I'm going to blend it and fix a hot sauce that I ruined.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool. My aunt always, I didn't know she made her own roasted garlic all the time.
So completely brilliant is the roasted garlic and then fire roast tomatoes.
Oh.
Keep some, hold some of the tomatoes back, mm-hmm. but just wazz it up in a wazzer.
Yeah.
You can blend it, whatever.
So good.
And it's just so fast.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Very nice.
Love to do that, Roberto.
That's true.
Cherry tomatoes. Split them in half. Treat them the same way I described the garlic. Roast them on an entire sheet pan.
Mm-hmm.
And then just let them cool. And then you have to decide, are you going to keep the skins or not?
Because mm-hmm.
the skins you can pull off.
Yeah.
And then just keep the skins, and they're the best thing to make meatloaf with.
Hmm. Interesting.
But then you just wazz them with that roasted garlic.
Yeah.
And then throw it in a pan sauce. Hold some of the roasted tomatoes back so you got some bulkiness. It's warm in 15 minutes, 10 yeah. minutes. Yeah. Just on low heat, boil yeah. your pasta, you got dinner. And it's mm-hmm. amazingly aromatic in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, folks.
You better like garlic.
That's true.
I love garlic.
But roasted garlic is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's candy.
That's creepy how you said that.
I want candy.
Please stop. You're freaking me out. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on The Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2019 Apatagua Reserva Cabernet from Chile. We're going to go around the room. And we're going to get some numerical scores that shall be accurate and probably fair. We're going to start off with the triple B.
Okay. So I always stress about my score that I'm giving it, especially... I think especially when I like a wine, because you want to be fair to it, but you don't want to, like, kind of teacher's pet it, like, give it extra points just because. So.
But this is a teacher's pet.
It is a teacher's pet right now. Don't you feel that way?
Well, I'm just saying, I think this is your teacher's
so,
pet.
So, something I want to say at the beginning of my review is to remember that this cab has French stylings. So some of the words that I would describe this with, when Rob said rustic, that was what I was thinking. It is very tannic, but it is not like this huge fruit bomb that has a rustic edge. It is a much lighter bodied cab, still very, very good. To me, the oaking is, and I'm so critical of oaking, but the oaking on this is like just a really good icing on a cake. It's just like this extra dimension that just adds so much to the wine. The only critique I can think for it is I wish there was maybe a little bit more fruit pulling through it. I see you. I do. That would be a critique I would have, because there isn't a lot of fruit in it. The other thing I would say as a huge compliment to this wine is it is underpriced. I think you could sell this for easily $5 or $10 more. Easily.
I don't think you'd be upset if you paid $25 for this.
And I think that is just the highest compliment to it. Mm-hmm. I would love to see what this tastes like in a year. I think it's so good.
Yeah.
But because I think that there is a little bit of that, I don't know. Part of me thinks some of this vegetal is just the way that it is going to be in South America. So can we really knock it down?
No, I think a lot of it this is the terroir. This
yeah,
is the,
just how it is.
The way the regional.
I will say it's a little bit, when you're drinking a cab, to me it comes across as like a lemon rind. So when you're drinking a cab and you get a lemon in it, it is a little bit like, oh, I was thinking much more dark fruits. If this was a white wine and you get lemon, you're so ecstatic. But I think it's so close to having an elevated mouthfeel. Really, really well done. For me, it's just shy of a 90. I'm giving it an 89. But I just think it's a really, really phenomenal wine. And I would recommend it all day long. I want us to go and buy basically everything wine.com has of it. I would also be the first to nominate it for the Value Price Hall of Fame.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And I think we should also maybe go ahead and just give this the winery of the year. I get all the accolades.
Well, the Grand Reserva and the Malbec might beg to differ.
That's true.
I thought it was Rob that was doing the setup, but apparently not.
We have had situations where the Grand Reserva is not as good. That's good. That's true.
I don't remember what they are.
Kim Crawford, right? One of Kim Crawford's.
That was a signature series.
Yeah, signature series.
That was a dog fart. Sorry about that.
It was awful.
Yeah.
You guys liked it. I give an 82 of my points or three.
So this is I like several things about this wine a great deal. It's just a really, if I was going to pick one word for this, it's interesting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like, although it's subdued somewhat, that cayenne combination with white pepper. Mm-hmm. I love the acidity on the finish. The dichotomy that normally would not exist, and we would criticize it, of being relatively light-bodied, but yet a pretty tannic bomb. I love the combination of that. Mm-hmm. The savory fruit, it doesn't have much of a mid palate, but that tannic mouthwash is fantastic. The mouthfeel, I'll give it slightly velvety. I'm scoring this higher than the Pinot, but I like the Pinot better. But I'm giving this an 89 also. I was between an 88 and an 89. It's just a really interesting... Mm-hmm. Little cab for $12 again. Mm-hmm. Apaltagua.
Yeah.
Slow clap. Yes.
You could double the price, and I would feel like it was worth the money. Yeah.
Wouldn't bad. You know, we talk about readers' questions. You know, what line of wine should somebody try? Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Decoy, and you know, they're generally in the 20s. Maybe you find them in the low teens, but 20-something. Mm-hmm. This is that level quantity. And to some degree, it's a little more interesting.
It's a little more interesting, yeah. And now it's on to me, folks.
I will say, so many times when you drink a cab, you're like, oh, okay, there's the dark fruit. Okay, there's this. Okay, yeah. There's this.
Cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Cookie cutter.
And this, it doesn't have the dark fruit.
No, it's red fruit. It's more south of France kind of stuff.
Anything but cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you still know it's Chilean. It tastes Chilean. Mm-hmm. In a good way. And now it's on to me, folks, of course. So, I'm actually, in my mind, I was thinking about how much I like this wine. And I like it a great deal. I think we've overscored some stuff in the past, for instance. Okay. I mean, like Winte. Overscored.
We've overscored stuff. We've underscored stuff. It happens.
Winte, that's so funny. I wasn't here for that.
No, you weren't. But that's okay. You're not missing much. But this wine is one of those where you just sit back and you go, you know what? For $11, it's just so damn interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly the wine I wanted to be drinking on Friday night, but we were drinking Gallo Signature Series Napa Valley Cabernet, which is $45.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very nice.
It wasn't, but it wasn't very nice. It was fine.
Yes, I enjoyed this more.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
How long had you been sitting on that one?
That was 2012, so probably about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I guessed it to cost in the low 20s.
It was a good wine, but this is a much better value, and it's more interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm also at an 89. I wrote that before Becky said her 89. Mm-hmm.
Well, so that was your little condescending nod and smile and wink at her.
And Scott,
that's the first time he's ever done the Me Too. That's the first time he's ever done that.
Oh, he Me Too'd you. Mm-hmm.
But Scott, I was between 88 and 89.
Yeah. And
I feel similarly. 88, 89. I don't mind at all giving it an 89.
But I'm going to stand by that. And
At the price, an 89 is a wildly strong score. It gets in the Value Price Hall of Fame.
I still like the Pinot better.
Pinot's more fun.
The Pinot has that spectacular mouthfeel.
The Pinot's in the Hall of Fame, and
Pinot has a spectacular mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. I've given both the Pinots both years 90s,
and I think
so.
Pinot was always hard for me to score. I know I was lower than you guys on both those.
You say a lot of the varietals, these are hard for me to score. This
no,
is
Pinot.
Hard for me to score. You, no, say, well, you say, say Chardonnay, that. You say Mackey Cabernet, says that. You say, you know, anything that's sweet, you know, anything that's dry.
No, anything that's sweet, I don't
I mean,
like.
It's all hard for you to score. I mean, it just is.
It's all hard.
I mean, you know, Pinochle is hard for you to score. I mean, anything.
I don't
is.
Play Pinochle.
Well, okay, well, there you go.
Hearts is difficult.
Oh, yes. Very difficult for you. Yeah.
Well, probably it's people play with different rules.
Go Fish is very difficult for you.
You don't score Go Fish. You just count at the end.
That's the part you have a problem
no,
with.
No, you're the one who has issues with the math.
So, folks, 389s.
Yep.
A tip of the cap.
Around the room.
Wow.
Value
any,
price.
Any concern that this is better than the Pinot?
No, Pinot's better.
Yeah, but this I would is agree. Very good. Pinot is better, but I'm so excited to try
everything else. Mm-hmm. Oh,
but,
yeah.
But you know, with depending on what meal you were having, I might. Oh, I would yeah, probably. Sure. I might pick this before the Pinot.
I got to look back at their what they're selling. I don't think they have a Merlot. I don't believe.
I didn't see. I don't think we saw a Merlot.
No, no. They just have the Malbec, which we also have in the queue. And then their Grand, well, I keep calling it Grand Reserve, but it's like some other.
Invero.
Invero.
Oh, it does say Invero Grand Reserve.
And their Grand Reserve, folks, just so you know, is $15.99. So it's not like it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So if it this is this good, it's exciting to see how good that might be.
Wine.com. Mm-hmm. Easy peasy. Join the stewardship program and buy a case of Apotagua. Just mix and match.
Wait, let us go ours first, then.
Yeah. Sure. I was just going to say that we, sometimes when you drink all of the offerings of a winery, you have some highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so nervous because we've had two very, very good starting points from this winery.
She's worried about the winery of the year.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. They have two more chances to solidify that. Although, I know. McManus is also there, and they have their Zin.
For 2020?
I think so. There's
McManus was last year's winery.
Wow,
year.
But that Zin could be that good. Right?
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
We'll see.
And Gabbiano, they've got a couple. Folks, I think next week you will hear, that's a surprise. The sparkling surprise.
Ooh, we got a sparkling. Surprise.
We have to get to that pretty soon,
a sparkling though, surprise?
We do have a combination. What is the difference between Chianti and Chianti Classico? We're going to find that out by the use of, what is it? Cavaliere d'Oro, which is Castellano di Gabbiano. They're Chianti and Chianti Classico from 2017, mind you. Both bought red-tagged at Meijer. Boom.
Well, that's the epitome of budget.
It's epitome of Gabbiano. Well. So, folks. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, and as well as Bo, even though he doesn't know it, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.